Welcome to the Maria Heller Show, the internet's original podcast. Since the year 2000, always ahead of the curve, always on your side. A true warrior for truth and justice, Maria and her guests leave nothing out, and no one is off limits. There is only one truth, the rest is lies. Sit back, enjoy the education with a true daughter of Mother Earth. Sharp New York wit, spiritual knowing, and a very dry sense of humor, Maria will dissect the news and lies to make it all palatable. Education is power. Maria delivers rapid-fire truth like no one else can. Here she is, the mouth that roars, the legendary Maria Heller.
Good morning, world. Maria here, alive and kicking. Welcome to Hell and High Water with myself and another excellent broadcaster, Chuck Ocelli, who refers to me as Mom. And I couldn't have had a son that would be any more like me than Chuck. Good morning, Chuck.
Oh, good morning, Mom, I think. it is a strange reality in which we find ourselves having this human experience, though we are spiritual creatures.
I'm doing okay. You know, I'm getting through the days. Like I told my sister this morning, if it wasn't for medical marijuana and my gym, I would be a basket case just covering the news. That keeps me from, I guess, becoming a mass murderer. But, you know, listen, these are the days that try men's souls, all right? These are the days when character is formed. These are the days real patriots come out of the woodwork. So we can't give up hope, all right? Look at these young kids. Look at the teacher strikes. Look at the auto worker strikes. They're striking in Russia. They're protesting in France. I mean, the people are awake. They said these are the most protests the United States has seen in decades. So people are waking up, but let's hope they have enough time to wake up.
Well, yeah, I mean, that is the question, right? A lot of people had stated during the 2016 selection process that one or the other choice would buy us some time, but either one of them, and this is, you know, the most reasonable speakers about this would say that either the Trump or the Clinton regime, one or the other, would probably bring us straight into a state of war and would bring great unrest throughout the planet. So this is what we were looking forward to. Now, a lot of the people that apparently supported this—I'm going to try not to curse, okay?
Good luck.
but I got a lot of words for this guy. I mean, I can think of it in about three different languages, but I'm going to hold it. The fact is that some people said that this would be the guy that would keep us from intervening in other countries' affairs, that this would be the guy who would slow down the process in one way or another. This was not my thought at all. As a matter of fact, it looked to me like, yes, indeed, one way or another, things were going to go off the cliff, but you had a choice to either take your foot off the gas or stomp on it. And this guy stomped on it and decided to run a zigzag pattern and a couple of donuts before he goes over with us all in the car.
Right.
That's what it comes down to. And but you know, business as usual would have been what? Hillary Clinton, I guess. And we probably would still be in this position maybe a couple of years down the road, you know, where we have a greater unrest and the unraveling of anything that was left of credibility across the planet, certainly all that good stuff. But you know what it comes down to, Maria, is that it's so hard. It's so hard to watch this and know that there are places on this earth where there are people that believe that somehow this represents all of us here, or the majority of us here,
right,
or whatever, you know, or even people in general.
Right.
Represents the American thought process. It's just,
right.
It's
well, you know, that reminds me of something. You know, after 9/11, I was covering the truth on 9/11 on my show, and you know, how we shouldn't rush into war, et cetera, et cetera. And I got a letter from somebody in Germany. And he said that I was the only voice of reason coming out of America. You know, so you look at that and you know there are people out there that want the truth and that can handle the truth, unlike the movie says. And it's just a terrible thing that we'll all be collateral damage whether we wanted this government, period, or not. So, you know, what did Donald Rumsfeld call them? Oh, unintended consequences. Okay. So unintended consequences. We blew up America. Sorry, didn't mean to do that. You know, as you and I are talking, we both became aware Trump's on TV announcing pulling out of the Iranian deal. And, you know the price of gas is going to go up. It already has 40 cents a gallon where I live. And that the market's going to crash. You know, if anybody doesn't see another recession and depression coming with all the same things happening that happened in 1929, then they just don't know history.
Well, you know, it was, some people might have thought that staving off the market collapse a problem is this wonderful thing they do now where they take their huge corporate tax breaks and buy back their own stocks to prop up the value of a stock.
Right.
And lo and behold, you know, the stock market is an interesting thing. It's not so tied to the economy as people like to think it is. I mean, the reality that a company like Netflix, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I use it as an example. This has been one of the things I've been trying to wrap my mind around more and more lately because, you know, so many people said that the market is the big indicator. Again, Netflix, right? They are one of the best trading stocks, one of the highest valued stocks that's out there that's easily publicly tradable and all that. They're seen as one of the shining stars among companies that you can trade on the stock market. They're literally losing billions of dollars.
Right.
Right. It's a losing business that people are betting on, and it's still a winning bet. So what does that tell you about the casino there that is the stock market?
It's all fixed. You know, many years ago when I interviewed Richard Grove, and Richard, by the way, everybody, Richard's coming back on the show this month. He worked for Marsh & McLennan in the Trade Center. Luckily, right. He was late for work that day. But he talked about the software that predicts catastrophic events and how they use that. On 9/11, if you remember, Odigo was told to get out of the building. There were no Zionist firms left in the building. Who made the money on 9/11 on those put options? We still don't know. But, you know, people don't understand that it's all flim-flam. It's as phony as everything that comes out of Donald Trump's mouth. You know, and it's never anything I ever felt compelled to invest in.
Well, no, and here's the interesting thing, right? You mentioned Zionism, so I've got to recognize this right now. As Trump apparently finishes his speech and sits down to apply his gaudy signature to some new resolution, you know, which is going to extract us from the Iranian deal. Here's the interesting thing about this. You notice that those who were very loud voices regarding Zionism and how it is the predominant force on the planet, which in my mind, it is a huge force on the planet, but it is not. It is not the only thing. And for some people, it sounded like it was the only thing
right. That
was driving all of America's policies, positions, everything, right? As well as the rest of the world being fully manipulated by the Zionist agenda. What's interesting to me is that the Trump supporter of today takes no notice of the fact that it is the grandest of Zionists who has encouraged exactly what we're seeing here.
Mm.
He even noted in this speech, which I was reading the text of while we were speaking, that you know, the evidence presented to him that makes sense, even though our intelligence agencies, no publicly verifiable evidence could be shown that Iran had done anything to violate this deal, which is the justification mm-hmm. for breaking a deal. Okay, because let's just keep that in mind. This
right.
is now the United States breaking a major deal, which, you know, if I was another country somewhere else, I would question whether my deal is any good anymore either, because somebody could say that there was evidence that I wasn't following through on it. Even if I was a country in South America or something, it's irrelevant. Point is, I would start to question this pretty heavily. Anyway, it's interesting that nobody takes note that it seems as though the United States has taken the lead directly from the Zionists themselves here on a public stage. And it's Trump who's doing it. But that's okay, because somehow he's immune to this sort of criticism. I cannot wrap my mind around how that logically makes sense. Can you?
No, I can't. Absolutely not. And like, you know, even Jim Fetzer has pointed out multiple times on my show, in 300 years, Iran hasn't attacked another nation. And, you know, you could see the meme that goes around every now and then. You know, the countries Iran has attacked in the last 300 years and the countries America's attacked. One side's blank, and America probably runs out of paper to list how many wars we're in. But, you know, Netanyahu started setting this up, you know, demonizing Iran because, after all, they might want nuclear weapons, even though everybody knows Israel has at least 200, supposedly, most of them pointed at Iran. And I interviewed Mordecai Vanunu on my show. Gilad Osmun was on my show. Whistleblowers that actually tell the truth about Israel's nukes, the truth about Zionism. And here we go for another war in Israel. But the twist to this is with Trump, I don't know if you had time to listen to my news shows this week, but they actually hired Black Cube, which is in league with Cambridge Analytica and Israel. It's an Israeli private intelligence service to investigate John Kerry because John Kerry was trying to hold the deal together. So now they want to bring John Kerry up on charges for trying to hold the deal together, on Logan charges. And they also investigated members of Obama's administration, and that's still ongoing.
Right. Now, a fascinating thing about this Black Cube. Now, I haven't heard your analysis of it, but I've done an analysis myself. I got to tell you, I'm sure you and I are going to come together real quick here. First of all, Black Cube is filled with a whole bunch of former Mossad people. That's exactly what it is.
Oh, yeah, they're retired Mossad agents. I reported that in the news.
There you go. I mean, it's just that's what it is. It's a retirement plan for Mossad people. I mean, it's like,
right.
Well, gee, it was Special Forces guys who went into Blackwater, right? Okay.
Yeah, but let me tell you this about the Mossad, okay? And it stands true for the CIA, too. And I have to keep the anonymity of one of my really good friends. But when I lived in New York, I had have a really good friend, very powerful man. And he said he was ex-CIA. But he said, the truth, Maria, you're never ex-CIA. They can call me up anytime.
Oh, yeah.
So Mossad, ex-Mossad, you know it's a Mossad operation.
Well, you see, you just struck my next point because I was going to do it the other way around and explain to people that just like when you actually are dealing with a real CIA operative who has been employed by the agency, they will tell you if they're being candid with you that there's no such thing as former CIA.
Right.
And the Mossad is exactly the same way. You're 100% correct.
Yes. Somebody was telling me some former NSA officials were speaking out on this and that. And I'm like, there's no such thing. And I don't think that people understand that. Once you're in for life. You know, it reminds me of many years ago. My first husband was a bit of a real gangster. And we had a meet with a big mob leader over a little mistake he had made. And I remember this big mobster telling him after he saw what balls my first husband had. He says, I really like you to come and work for me. You got balls, right? And I was sitting there. I was like 18. And his reply was the same. He said to him, yeah, I don't think so. He says, I don't like your retirement plan. So when you go to, you know, right after 9/11, I was probably the first person interviewing anybody that had any information on the insideness of 9/11. And at that time, we didn't have the Patriot Act. So there I am. Oh, God, his name was Tom. I can't remember his last name. But anyway, I had a hacker that used to watch my site for me because I did it live then. And I had my Yahoo Messenger. Remember that? I had my Yahoo Messenger on so my audience could interact. Well, in the middle of my interviewing him, my hacker pops on an instant message and says, Maria, the CIA just signed on to your show. So,
you know, I did not know this. It's very funny. I got to tell you how oddly I echo you. Because today, as we speak, when I do my live show, absolutely, there is a guy, I'm not sure if it's a white hat or a black hat that he used to wear, but quite honestly, that's what he's good at. Mm-hmm. And he lets me know when I have the Langley contingent around. But he also lets me know, because this is now, you know, modern times here a little bit. It's been many years since you were doing it with Yahoo Messenger.
Right.
but nowadays, you know, there's Ukrainian and Russian Federation-based assets that suddenly invade my website during certain times as well.
Oh, I get that all the time. That's every day. Yeah. It's like how many of them are on trying to bust into my subscriber software today. Actually, I was interviewing Tom Flacco, whose name came and went, but Tom was one of the first people to really bring out the irregularities, followed by Mark Elsis in Florida, and then on and on it went. So when he told me the CIA was tapped in, I stopped the interview, Chuck, and I said, it's just come to my attention that the boys and girls at the CIA just tuned in. I said, kick off your shoes and grab a cup of coffee. You might learn something. I said, and remember, you're just as disposable as the rest of us because your retirement plan is you disappear. So then he pops up another one, right? And he says, they just clicked off. Now, you know, with a live show, when you stop your live show, it's done. Well, I stopped the live show and it was still streaming for 10 more minutes. That's how much time it took for them because the Patriot Act wasn't enforced then. So they had to reroute the show through China, back through Canada to try to tap into it. I said, what the hell? My show's still playing. It's 10 minutes later. So there I was, even in 2001. Already I had 36 government sites checking on my show almost every day.
Yeah. See,
and I wasn't that upset. I said, if you're going to listen in, at least freaking buy a subscription. Yeah. You know?
Well, you know, I always welcome them. I tell them, you know what, welcome to the show, my friends in the intelligence agencies here in America and in other countries. And I hope that you are here to learn something, because there is a great deal to be learned and not just what you were told to learn.
Right.
So, you know, keep it in mind and welcome.
Right. Those agents go out the same way ex-mobsters go out, usually death by lead in the blood, too much lead in the blood.
Well, you know, unfortunate accidents, too, don't forget.
Right,
Plane crashes and such.
Right. Unintended consequences. All right, I have a lot of stuff I want to talk to you about. I don't want to make this all about Trump because, I mean, I'm over him already, but I'm sure we'll bounce back and forth with him. But yesterday, of all people, the NRA makes Oliver North the president of the NRA. I don't know if you got to see that or not.
Yeah, well, I thought it was a joke when I saw it, and I said, well, so what you're telling me is the guy who is, you know, because the NRA are supposed to be all about the law-abiding citizen,
right,
exercising their constitutional rights. Meanwhile, the guy they're making president of the organization is somebody who subverted the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
You know, interfered in foreign governments, and I'm being generous here.
Right.
I mean, we could go cocaine trafficking, weapons
trafficking.
Right,
Iran-Contra, Iran-Contra. Yeah. And here they got a guy who's killed, you know, countless innocent people, who's now in charge of the NRA. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. When David Icke talks about how we live in an inversion of reality, that this is an inverted planet where, you know, up is down is up, you can't argue that.
Oh, I know it. This is precisely where we're at. And, you know, even more bizarre stuff. I don't know if you saw this one because this is right in your wheelhouse. Did you notice the Washington Post purposely putting out an article which they couldn't even get? They couldn't even follow through fully on their agenda with a straight face, telling us that, by the way, you know, police killing unarmed people is actually on the decline.
Yeah, right.
Did you see that?
Right, and I post like 10 a day now. All right, I won't exaggerate. Minimum 2 stories a day of cops. You know, one kid playing his music too loud, bam, the beating comes. you know, three black girls rent an Airbnb in a white neighborhood, the white people called the cops, bam, they're on the spot. You know, the naked guy who's crazy in the street, the cops show up and kill him right then and there. I mean, well, this is every day, and people don't realize. And when I posted that these cops are trained in Israel, instead of anybody doing their homework, I was called an anti-Semite.
Well, you know, Maria, why would you bother to say stuff like that, considering that a half-naked guy can go into a Waffle House and an unarmed worker can take care of the situation, even though he's got an M16, right, which is what, you know, the civilian version of an M16 is an AR-15. But anyway, you know, he's got a military assault rifle effectively in a restaurant. He's half naked. That's okay. Not a big deal. The president doesn't address that.
No, hasn't said anything.
He doesn't have much to say.
Right. Well, don't forget, it was a black kid that stopped him. So why would Trump respond? You know, I'm looking at Hawaii, which is probably about ready to sink under the ocean. And what has Trump posted about that? And people said, you think he's going to help Hawaii the same way he did Puerto Rico? And I said, well, Hawaii is against Trump, so why would he help them either?
Well, I would just say, look, it's just the logic of islands. Trump doesn't realize that these islands are part of America. I'm sure he's not sure that Hawaii is either. So don't worry about it. You know, it's nothing to see there either, even though, yeah, like you said, it's Hawaii is a volcano, which is seeming to starting to erupt now. Another story that's being ignored. But hey, you know, back to the gun thing for just a second before we get into natural disasters.
Sure.
You know, it's fascinating to me, that whole Waffle House story and how it was handled. And, you know, again, remember, a good guy with a gun is supposed to stop a bad guy with a gun? Well, you know, Tennessee, if memory serves correctly, is one of those states where there should be lots of good guys with guns around, and nobody reacted except a guy who's probably getting paid $2 and change an hour plus tips to work there. Mm-hmm. All right. But hey, again, let's put that aside, because if he was carrying a cell phone, this particular kid who stopped this assault on the Waffle House, you know, he might have been shot dead like they get in California. But wait a minute. Let's retroactively handle it, because, you know, recently at a gun show, now they've got an iPhone gun. Have you seen this?
No, I haven't.
Oh, great. Well, you know, just this past week, apparently there's a manufacturer now who has created a two-shot cell phone gun. So it appears to be like a cell phone. It's a little thicker than an iPhone really is. But at a quick glance, you think it's a cell phone. You unfold it really quickly, and you've got two shots that you can fire from this weapon. So now I guess cops could claim that, hey, that cell phone could have been a gun.
Right, but that black kid they shot in his grandmother's backyard was holding a white cell phone. And to me, if the cops can't tell the difference, because I've covered these stories for so many years, Chuck, they can't tell the difference between an old man's cane, a guy holding a screwdriver, a phone, from a gun, then maybe they should all have forced eye exams like once a week. But I think the only solution, and people really get over to killedbypolice.org, and they also have a Facebook page, Killed by Police, because they report every day. My thought is the only salvation we have now, since the cop's number one excuse is, I feared for my life, we thought he had a gun. What if everybody open carried? Would the cops be so quick to kill you because your music's too loud or because you're the wrong color?
Well, you know, that's the thing. I think if there was an open carry across the board, it would certainly make for a much more polite conversation, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but think about, you know, think about how different that would be if you had 10 white guys open carrying and you had a group of 10 black guys open carrying. Do you know what I'm saying?
You know, I'm having trouble figuring out what the difference would be.
Well, you know, when they open carried, you remember those ranchers that didn't pay their grazing fees, the Bundy crowd? They had a protest with all kinds of weapons and arms, so nobody was hurt, and basically the cops walked away. But when you had, you know, mixed people protesting peacefully at Standing Rock, they were gassed, they were tear bombed, they had the rubber bullets, all the rest of it. So there's the answer, okay? They want guns for white people, which is probably why, you know, they're all so crazy about it. But imagine a million black men marching on Washington, open carrying.
Well, you know, that's what gets you put on enemies of the state lists. I mean, let's remember that the action that led to the Black Panthers being targeted for neutralization was the fact that they walked into the Capitol in California armed. And it wasn't technically an illegal thing to do at the time they did it.
Right.
So it was fully within their Second Amendment right to exercise it. And this is what made them formally enemies of the state. So, look, that attitude, of course, is still prevalent. And
how about that NRA convention? And I'm sure you saw Trump's speech there. What an idiot. But Trump and Pence were both going to be there, so they made it a law that no one could bring a gun into that convention.
Yeah, you know, you see various trailers on flyers lately at pro-gun rallies that say you can't bring your weapons.
Right, what are they afraid of? Right. I mean, if they're so pro-gun and those were his clucking fans in the audience, he should have, you know, encouraged them all to just fire their weapons into the sky. Do you know what I'm saying? Let's have a shootout. Shoot at an OK Corral. But they, you know, they want to give guns to teachers, but they don't want to give teachers paper, pencils, and crayons, okay? So this is such a Planet of the Apes that it gets absolutely ridiculous. Now, at the same time that convention was going on, a Dallas restaurant had included on their receipts that they, you know, help us support sensible gun rights, okay? Sensible gun laws. Nobody's saying take away your guns. And the NRA got hold of that, and they literally blasted out to all their members to attack this guy's restaurant. And he got all kinds of death threats, people calling him saying they were going to shoot the place up and all of that. So, you know, has the NRA become a terrorist organization, or was it always that way?
Well, you know, it's hard to sort out as to when it became the organization that it's become, because here's the thing, its founding is kind of cloudy to begin with. Interesting time when it was founded. And that's something that Michael Moore pointed out, and I'm not a fan of his, but when he pointed out that, you know, the same year that the NRA was founded, right? One of the versions of the Klan saw its insurgents here in this country. Kind of interesting. Not saying that they're related to one another, but here's something that is fascinating. Have you seen all this discovery of Russian money being funneled into the NRA?
Right.
In the past couple of years, at least?
Right.
Well, you know, look, how many times are we going to see that there is a foreign nation which wishes to sow dissent and conflict and strife of all sorts on a social level, on a political level. If it goes to violence in the streets, even better, whether it's the troll farms or it's pumping up these organizations that are extremely divisive. I mean, gee, is it a big, big surprise and crazy idea in people's minds that maybe one of the most divisive figures in American political history could have been supported by the same state who doesn't really have a stake in the future of this country? I mean, is that a possibility, Maria?
You know it is. God knows. I talked about the Dutch documentaries, what, a year ago? And then it was interesting because when I looked for them on YouTube, they were gone. And, you know, you got to look at, you know, once again, the second time in a month, I'm banned from posting to groups on Facebook. So you look at this, and trust me, you talked about enemies of the state. I'm sure your name and my name are right at the top of that list, because they can't have real patriots. They can't have real seniors that remember their rights, that remember a different America. They can't have us staying alive. So it's interesting
not at all.
Times.
And you know what's, you know, you were talking about the surveillance before. The fact is that even before 9/11, you know, we had a surveillance state in place that had gone through various changes. I mean, the days of J. Edgar Hoover and COINTELPRO never really ended. They just sort of transferred into other areas. And there were changes, and it did seem to not really be the solid state thing that it is today. But after 9/11, it was open season because Now there was a justification. We need to make sure that we deal with anybody who could possibly collaborate with the enemies from without, unless they're in privileged positions and they're doing business on a certain level. You know, if they're corporatist criminals, then, you know, their international activities are not really of high concern, which is a funny thing, again, because as we take a look at an administration that's now suffered, I don't know, 24 indictments from people associated to the administration.
19, I think, at last count. 19 indictments, and they call it a witch hunt.
Oh, well, that, yeah, funny stuff right there. But it's interesting to me that, quite honestly, at the end of the day, Maria, though, my prediction is this. Nobody of significance will actually get punished.
Well, and they never do. Look at 9/11. They're out making paintings and writing books and giving speeches. Look at Giuliani, that 9/11 criminal, has the nerve to show his face in public again, even though I think he's lost what little is left of his mind. Maybe he has syphilis, too. But I'm like,
you gotta wonder that, considering what we saw this past week.
I know.
You know, and my opening statement, I'm sorry, let me just say this, and then I want to hear everything you have to say about our friend Rudy there. You know, the first thing I said is, please stop telling me out there that this guy is Italian, because, you know, I've got a little bit of pride.
I call him Giuliani.
Yeah, I'm with you. But, I mean, I have this pride in my heritage. I realize that there's a checkered heritage there, and I own all of that. But this guy literally makes me feel ashamed that there's a vowel at the end of my name.
Right, like Scaramucci, that other Gavone. But the truth of the matter is, look at what we have to be proud of in Michael Avenatti.
Listen, I grant you that, but you know, the absolute abject ridiculousness of Giuliani.
I mean,
here's the funny part. Not only is he on the wrong side of things here, and not only is he a ridiculous lapdog for Donald Trump of all people, but the strange thing is, he can't even get his story straight. So bad that even Trump turns around and says, well, Rudy will be okay once he gets his facts straight.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting that you hire a lawyer. He's supposed to be briefed on the situation. He's going out and publicly speaking on your behalf, and he doesn't have his facts straight yet? Who's the idiot here?
Well, you know that's a lie. You know that's a lie. But as of today, supposedly he's super pissed at Giuliani and wants him to stop appearing on TV. But that's the theater that they give us. Do you know what I mean? But when I look at Michael Avenatti, and for people that you should be familiar with the name, that's Stormy Daniels' attorney. All I see, that guy has the face and the courage of a lion. I see a lion around him all the time. And the only other time I saw a lion was years ago when I was talking to David Icke. And I had no idea that he was writing another book. And we were just chit-chatting. And it wasn't online because David and I talk privately. And I said, David, let me take a little look at, you know, what's coming up for you. And I said, wow, I know this is going to sound crazy, David. I said, but I see a lion. I see a lion all around you. And he starts laughing. So I said, why are you laughing? He says, I'm not going to tell you till you see the cover of my new book. And that was the book where he had a lion on the front. Okay. And I see that same courage, and I see that energy, that spirit of the lion around Avenatti. I mean, nothing's going to stop this guy. I mean, that, you know, kind of makes up a little for what I like to call Anguliani. I'm Fanguliani.
Fanguliani.
But we have to take a break. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Hi, this is Maria. I don't often get to talk directly to the listeners here on the Gary Null Network, but I felt like doing that today. I know a lot of you really enjoy my show, but you might not know that I do 4 shows a week over at my website, maria.net. So if you're loving the show you get to hear on Sunday, come on over to my site and subscribe, because I've got hundreds of hours of great shows on pretty much every topic in the universe. And that again is maria.net, M-E-R-I-A.net. And now we can get back to this excellent show. Thanks. Hi, Maria here, and I have a message due to the pressure of the times we're living in. I'm calling on all students and millennials to get the education they need to fight the fascism taking over our world. I've made a special subscription offer for students and for seniors on a limited budget. For just $9.99 a month, you can subscribe and get that education. Over 500 hours of real education that's necessary to understand the world, the problems, and the solutions. Remember, knowledge is power. Together, you can change the world, but to do so, you must be informed of what's really going on and have real facts to support you in your endeavors. It's time for all the grandmothers to take a stand and teach the younger generation what their life could be and how to get there. Help me help you. One person cannot do it alone, and the guidance you seek is right here at www.meria.net, M-E-R-I-A.net. Your generation is the generation we've been waiting for, so let me help you. Thanks for listening. Okay, welcome back to Hell and High Water with myself and Chuck Ocelli. Chuck does a great show, one of maybe less than five that I'll ever recommend. Get over to Ocelli.com and check it out. Support his work. And we're here, we're true patriots, but not just of the United States. For me, I'm a citizen of planet Earth, and I sure don't like what's going on. And it sure looks pretty clear that Mother Earth doesn't like what's going on either.
No, that is absolutely evident in Hawaii, which I want to get to in a second, but I don't want to forget something that we left off with before you went to break.
Sure.
And that is this Stormy Daniels situation. You know, I don't want to talk about the typical stuff. I want to say something about Stormy Daniels really quickly here. I've never seen a single one of her movies. I was not familiar with her name until this scandal broke, okay?
Right.
Actually, I became vaguely familiar with her name last year before the news got a hold of her, it looked like. And somebody said, you know, you're going to hear about this person, and I didn't believe them.
Mm-hmm.
But it turned out to be true. And here's the thing. I'm watching the way she is handling herself on social media.
Right.
And in public. And the fact that she did the cold open for Saturday Night
Live. Oh, that was great. That was the best open in a long time.
And even quite honestly, taking on, you know, making a self-effacing commentary, a joke there. Hey, listen, I'm in the porno industry, she says, so we're not exactly known for our acting skills.
Right.
That cracked me up to no end.
I know.
I got to tell you, I have respect for this woman.
I actually posted I'd rather see Stormy Daniels president than Trump.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what it's come down to. But this morning I got a news story about another playmate from when he had knocked up Marla Maples when she was pregnant, which, by the way, he suggested an abortion at the time. Mr. Let's Kill Abortion for Everybody But Our Mistresses.
Right.
But some playmate came out, and don't forget he was having a long-term affair with one playmate while Maples was pregnant. I forget, I think it was McDougal, her name. But now another playmate came out and said that she had to watch Trump have sex with her roommate. And I think it was in 1993 at his, you know, whore master at Trump Tower. So that story's out there now. And the bottom line is, she's not telling the story because she doesn't like Trump. She voted for him. She loves Trump. But she's telling that story. So there's like no end. But think about what they did to John Edwards. Think about, listen, Bill Clinton deserved what he got. But think about what they did to John Edwards, who I thought would have made a good president. But they took him out just because, oh, he's cheating on his wife and his wife is sick. Well, this guy's cheated on his wives, his mistresses, while they're pregnant, when they're not pregnant. And everybody seems okay with that, especially the Christian right.
Well, see, that's a fascinating thing to me. I mean, look, I always felt that these people that are cheating on their spouses, you know, it's between whoever they believe holds their moral compass and themselves and their spouses, pretty much, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I really never thought that this was a high-value discussion to have, quite honestly. But I do recall that over the years, this has been one of those things that's brought up by these people that call themselves conservatives.
Mm-hmm.
And they're always talking about how character matters.
Right.
And how
morals.
This way of treating their wife indicates how they would treat the country and how they would treat a trust. And they make this really interesting moral argument until it's one of their own.
Right.
But, okay, and even the Christians who
right
there,
now it's nobody's business. Franklin Graham said that it's nobody's business. But when Clinton was going through it, he had a lot to say about his immorality, et cetera, et cetera. Now, well, that's nobody's business because he's a demon like his father was.
So well,
I have a little picture I posted. It just says demons. And when I see anything by the right or I see it, you know, this bullshit prayer meeting, National Day of Prayer from a whore master, adultering liar who's broken every commandment in the books, I post that, demons. And you know what? People really like it. You know, don't hide behind your God, okay? We all know what you are. But remember, we're supposed to be the moral standard for the world. Our president's supposed to have a certain amount of class and morality to set an example. Well, look at the example this guy's setting. You know how many parents are telling their children not to be anything like the president of the United States?
Well, you know, it's a strange thing that you say that, because when I think about the relationship between a parent and a child and somebody teaching their child about who it is they should comport with, who it is they should
emulate,
invest their loyalty with and all that, I do have to think of Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
Oh God.
And you know why? Because I watched people go into tirades about how dare people insult Sarah Huckabee Sanders and the president, right? You know,
right.
After that stupid presser thing that goes on once a year, and they attack the comedian for
right.
going after him on stage. You know, how dare you insult Sarah Huckabee Sanders? I said, you know, first of all, please.
Right.
You know, you got to be kidding me that you people even make this argument. But here's what's fascinating to me is the hypocrisy of the family affair, if you will. Mike Huckabee is a religious broadcaster, effectively, at this point. He's on one of those religious broadcasting networks, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, who's his daughter? You know?
Right. She's supposed to be, you know, supposed to be so religious and a Christian, but she lies every minute of the day, let alone how nasty she is to the press. And nobody, you know, first of all, I watched Michelle Wolf's whole skit. It was 19 and a half minutes.
Uh-huh.
All she made fun of was she referred to her eyeshadow, okay? She didn't say she was fat. All the lies that fake media started throwing out, you know, all the trolls online, the morons, clapping for another banana. And she said nothing compared to the things that Trump has said. He's insulted entire nations, calling them shitholes, Mexicans calling them rapists. The list of the terrible names that he calls women is like endless, but nobody seems to have gotten upset over that. And finally, not the media, but the late night comedians are saying what I've been saying all along, call it what it is. Lies. Trump is a liar. Stop using all these other words. You know, oh, he misspoke. It's misunderstood. He's lies. They said it's at least six big lies a day. 3,001 as of yesterday since he took office. But no one will say he's a liar and a psychopath and you can't believe anything he says.
Well, and here's the fun part, too, is that if he lied in one direction, you know, I might just think he was delusional, and it's okay. After all, we have to be best, Maria. Let's not forget that, too.
Mm.
We have to be best, whatever the hell that means. You know, when we're interacting with people, and I hate to have to go into that direction, but what is that nonsense?
Right. Best of what? Bestia. My mother would say we're the bestia. What about North Korea and South Korea? First of all, Kim Jong-un is now still in China today, I believe. His third visit outside the country, which is historic if you think about it. But he said Trump needs to shut up. He had nothing to do with the deal they made between North and South Korea, and they don't want him messing up the deal. And he actually gave credit to China and the fact that he and South Korea are, you know, figured this out on their own. My sense is they see what a lunatic Trump is, and even South Korea is afraid. So they said, we better toss our cookies in together because this lunatic can do, you know, is apt to bring, you remember the fire and fury he was going to bring down on Korea.
Fire and fury, the likes the world has never seen. Yeah, right.
Oh, God. That's probably what he says when he's trying to have a bowel movement.
Well, I don't know, you know. I don't know how much fire and fury you get out of McDonald's. But
that's with the diet he has. There's no other way for it to come out.
But he's healthier than any president in history. And
well,
so
how about
his doctor's office?
How about his doctor exposing the fact that he dictated that letter to him?
Oh, I know. That's another piece of beauty. But you know what's funny, again, is that you absolutely analyzed the North Korean and South Korean situation the same way I did. I put it this way, though, is that our longtime ally has no idea what the hell is going to happen next because of the absolutely irrational behavior of our leader. And the North Koreans looked at it and went, you know, as much as we're a regime here who literally has a dead man at the head of our government, because that's the truth, by the way, if you take a look at the structure of North Korean government, Kim Jong-un, that would be the grandfather, is actually still the head of the government despite being dead. So these people looked at this together and said, you know, since we have no idea how unpredictable the United States might be because of this crazy man they have speaking for them, we might want to sit down and end the war that didn't end 60 years ago because we're going to need to look out for each other and not rely on them anymore.
And asking China for help. So here's a little tidbit for the religious fanatics out there. There's a scripture in the Bible that actually says when the king of the north and the king of the south get together against a common enemy, then the end will come. That was one of the scriptures from my religious past that floated through my head with this North and South Korean deal. And if we had to go against China and Russia, we will lose. That's without question of a doubt, we would lose.
Despite being the most voluminous creators of military hardware on the planet, despite spending more than the next, 15 or 20 countries combined.
Well, what about our ships that were just stopped mid-water and outside of Japan? Russia are already bragging that they can shut us down with an EMP, any of our ships, any of our weapons, that they've got a bomb now that could take out the whole country at once. All right, Russia hasn't been wasting their money on illegal war since 9/11. They've been investing their money in bigger and better weapons that you and I will, you don't even know about. And there's no way we can win.
Well, bigger and better weapons coupled with psyops and lots of goodwill, actually, that they purchased in a lot of places, regardless of who it is that they have their boot on the back of the neck of. It's irrelevant because they've absolutely purchased a really great PR campaign through Sputnik and Russia Today and these various other organizations that are fronts for the Russian government to continue on with their propaganda. I mean, it's pretty interesting.
Well, Putin just did to make sure he stays dictator for life. The guy running against him, he trumps him up on fake charges, charges him with a felony, locks him up during the campaign. Okay, so he ran unopposed, as usual. And then when the people are protesting, which is illegal, as of yesterday, they arrested something like 1,800 protesters. The guy running against Putin was arrested again at the protest. So here you got a dictator who Trump admires and loves because he wants to be a dictator. Whose own people hate him. The young people there say, we don't want a future like our parents have. And if they get out and protest, they get arrested and whatnot. And, you know, here, how many? I think something over 30 different laws against protest has happened in this country. And people don't see the creeping crawl of fascism. You know, Dave McGowan, one of the first shows I ever did with Dave 20 years ago, was on his excellent book, Understanding the F Word. Fascism in America. And of course, 20 years ago, everybody blew Dave's, you know, stuff out of the water, thought he was crazy, this and that. But man, as soon as I read that book, that's how I ended up connecting to Dave. But you know, truth telling, you know, not only doesn't pay, but it can get you killed at the same time. All right, a couple other things I wanted to talk to you about before we run out of time, because we already hit that. The scariest and worst part of this administration is all the judges that Trump is putting in. Okay, he's putting in judges to deliberately please the conservative Christians. This morning, Louisiana said, I got another story out of Louisiana. It's kind of connected, but then it isn't. That 30,000 people in Louisiana are getting kicked out of nursing homes because of the changes to Medicaid. You look at South Carolina, which has now totally made abortion illegal. You look at Iowa, that you can't get an abortion past 6 weeks. Most women don't even know they're pregnant till at least 12. And you see the dominionism and the theocratic rule that I also covered as one of my first shows 20 years ago in full swing.
Yeah. Yeah, it is amazing that, again, and from a hypocrisy like we've never seen in history. I mean, quite honestly, I mean, I don't recall any of these, even the harshest critics of some of the least inspiring leaders in America's history.
Right.
I don't see hypocrisy to this degree ever. But you know what? He's supporting them by giving them what they want.
Right.
And I think it's really odd that they don't do anything but give him a mulligan on his moral trespasses.
Right. As long as they get their theocracy, their Christian theocracy. Where, you know, listen, they've had a constitution in the wings for a long time that they're hoping to put out there that's based on the Bible. They want biblical law. They don't want American law. And they never lose sight of their goals. And now they got the right buffoon in office, so they're going to okay anything he does as long as he pleases them.
You know, and I thought the real scary religious laws that were supposed to be coming to America were supposed to be Sharia.
Right.
It's impossible, but and also despite all the rumors, in case people go, well, it has come to some parts of America, it has not.
Right.
It has not materialized anywhere.
Because they believe the idiots when they say it, right.
It is happening, and it's happening right in front of our eyes.
And it's happening at a fast clip.
Yeah, I don't understand why it is there isn't more of a pushback against this from, you know, the rest of us who are either rational or objective or neutral about it. I don't see why there is no resistance to it. You know, you see what they call democratic resistance or blue resistance or whatever, and it's from a political ideology. It's based on social issues. Again, there is no such thing as a real actual left in this country,
right.
And there are no real liberals left anywhere that I see, not in a mass anyway. But why is it that there's no pushback against this? I keep wondering, Maria.
Everybody's too busy with their technology. And you look, I was talking to somebody the other day, and I said, you know what? Everybody's paying so much attention every day to the gossip about Trump, his affairs, you know, his stupid tweets, you know, who he's attacking, Kanye West, all this bullshit. I said, and it's all subterfuge because I'm the one covering all the laws that are being changed under him. All of us getting screwed, you know. Now he wants to cut $15 billion from the budget, take away children's health insurance, health care. These are not things people are looking at because everybody wants, you know, to stay in whatever he puts out every day as distraction.
Yeah, well, they're gonna have to take notice of it when they start to realize some
right.
of the people that are actually supporting this nonsense. That, all of a sudden, you can't afford to cover your kids.
Right.
You can't afford to cover your grandkids. Your nieces and nephews suddenly don't have anywhere to go when they injure themselves because there's no health care for them at all.
Right.
I mean, the children's health insurance programs, CHIP, as they call it in a lot of places, quite honestly, is an essential thing that needs to be
right.
in place. And you know, it's okay. That's
well, listen, if it was a fetus, they would have no problem. But once that child's alive and breathing and living on its own, that child is screwed. From school to healthcare to SNAP to food, everything else, you know, daycare, et cetera, et cetera. So that's another thing of the hypocrisy. And if they read their Bibles, they would know the Bible says nothing about abortion. And they need to remember that it was their God that chose to kill the firstborn baby of every family in Egypt, and it was their God who wiped out the entire human race in one swoop. So, you know, they want to use their religion to make themselves feel better. But I tell women, you know, if you're going to be stuck in one of these states where you're stuck having a child you don't want, even if it's defective and you know it, just have the child and put it on your senator's doorstep and walk away.
Well, you know, that's the interesting thing. I wonder, would Jesus turn around and cut off the ability for, you know, literally hundreds of thousands of children to be fed, to have health care, and to have other basic essential human needs served by, the terrible thing that we have to spend money on this, as opposed to, you know, using our money for good things like making sure we can slaughter civilians in faraway places,
right,
and making sure our drone programs are running efficiently and all that good stuff, which, by the way, is still going on. And we're still engaged in Afghanistan. We're still engaged in various other countries that nobody's reporting on. Nobody wants to talk about the involvement of Yemen,
right,
what's happening over there in that dirty war. Oh, by the way, you know those wonderful allies we have in Israel? They're committing human rights violations on an hourly basis. But hey, you know, why look at all of that when you can stare at the, you know, like you said, the tabloid story
right,
at the moment?
Well, I reported on my news show Monday that, you know, Israel said that human rights don't apply to Gazans. So these are the people that say never again, God's chosen ones. Human rights don't apply to Palestinians as they continue to murder. I think they're up to 1,800 of the peaceful protesters in Palestine doing their right of return protest. And the animal Netanyahu says that human rights don't apply to them.
Well, you know what it is? It's justified here with the Islamo-fascist boogeyman, because, you know, it's only Muslims they're killing, although that's a lie too, Maria, because guess what? Palestinians are not all Muslims.
Right. A lot of them are Christians.
Some of them are Christians.
Right. And they are the true Semites, and anybody out there, my listeners know, but, you know, throw up the word Khazarian Jews and everybody loses their minds.
Yeah.
Anyway, God only knows what'll happen between now and when we do this next month, Chuck, but we're pretty much out of time. So I don't say pray for America, I say pray for the world.
Absolutely.
And, you know, just keep sending good energy out to the people that are awake, the people that are out protesting, and they are all over the world. You don't see it on the news, but you hear it on my show. So support the people that are putting their lives on the line for all of you. And, Chuck, I guess I'll talk to you soon.
Absolutely, Mom. Thanks a lot.
Always a pleasure. I'll talk to you soon. Chuck Ocelli. Check his work out, ocelli.com. And again, thanks for supporting the show. I'll be back on Thursday with the news. And tomorrow I'll be doing a Facebook Live at 9 a.m. Pacific time. So you might want to tune that in. Thanks again.
Thank you for listening and supporting the Maria Show. Tell others what you learned today. Knowledge becomes wisdom only when it's shared. Encourage others to subscribe today. www.maria.net. Often imitated, never duplicated. A world of information all in one place. www.maria.net. Always ahead of the curve. Always on your side. Get active or get radioactive. Subscribe today.